In our gospel reading, just before in John chapter 11, Jesus has just done an amazing thing. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. And there were many that day who saw it happen, who were present, who came to believe in him because of it. But not all. Some of them, we are told, went to the Pharisees to report on what had just happened. And when the Pharisees heard what Jesus had done, they did not believe. They chose instead to call together the council and to determine what to do about Jesus. Now pay attention to what the Pharisees are saying in our reading. This man performs many signs, they say. He cannot deny what Jesus has done. Lazarus was dead, but now he's alive. You can't argue with the results. But the miracle itself does not convert them. Miracles all by themselves do not convert anyone. The Pharisees instead are deeply worried. If this man continues on doing what he's doing, they say, everyone's going to believe in him. And of course, they don't mean that they're going to believe in him and be saved. They mean that they're going to follow him. He will raise up an army, they think. He will set himself up as a king, and that's going to cause problems. Because when he does that, then the Romans are going to come, and they're going to destroy us. They're going to take away our place and take away our nation and put down the rebellion as they had done so many times before. They were going to lose their place and their nation because of this Jesus. At best, they would be firmly under the heel of the Romans. At worst, destroyed. The situation is touchy. This man is going to ruin everything. But some things never really do change, Christians. People still fear what following after Christ is going to mean. Believing in Jesus means you have to let go of your sins. Believing in Jesus means you have to change the way that you live. Believing in Jesus means you're going to have to do things that are going to make you unpopular. And some people are simply unwilling to pay that price. Believing in Jesus is also going to make you a target of Satan. It will make your life harder and not easier. And instead of standing firm, instead of continuing to follow after Jesus, many choose instead to fall away. Christians, make no mistake. The Pharisees are right in what they have to say. This man has come to cause problems. And if we are unprepared, then we will not be able to endure. But when we realize that Christ has come to change things for the better, then we will be able to endure. Because whatever we lose right now in this world, we will gain back 100-fold in this life, and especially in the life to come. But while the Pharisees are debating what should be done, Caiaphas the high priest stands up in their midst, and he makes a very simple proposal to deal with their problem. He says, beginning in verse 49, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." All you need to do, he says, is kill him. If he's no longer around, there won't be any more problems. If he's no longer here, the Romans will not come. If he's no longer here, we will be able to keep our place. Strike down the head, and the body will die. We must deal with this Jesus once and for all, Caiaphas says. and then everything is going to be better. Better that one man die than that the whole nation should perish. Now, Caiaphas meant this in a very practical, a very political kind of way. Sure, one man has to die, he says, and that's an unfortunate thing. It is murder that we are planning, after all. But one life, he says, is better than many. One man is better than an entire nation. Yes, we're going to be guilty for what we've done, but at least we'll still be here. And maybe God can forgive us somewhere down the road. Caiaphas is a politician, after all, and a very corrupt one at that. He's willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish his goals, no matter how immoral it might be. But Caiaphas was the high priest. He was standing as the representative of God to the people. He was a descendant of Aaron. And being the high priest, the Holy Spirit could still use him, as evil as he was, to carry out the will of God and to speak the truth. And this should not surprise us, Christians. God is not limited in his power. If God could use Balaam's donkey to speak, he can use corrupt men to speak the truth. And Caiaphas did speak the truth. It is better that one man die than that the whole nation should perish. It is better that one man should give his life than that the whole world should be condemned. It is better that one should bear the guilt of all, so that our sins would be forgiven. Because by nature, Christians, we stand guilty before God. Think of it as a debt. Every sin that we commit puts us into debt to God. And every new sin that we commit only adds to the pile. So this mountain of debt which we have only grows larger and larger with each passing day. And like compounding interest, it grows exponentially every time we sin again. And not only do we add to this debt each time that we sin, we also started our lives in debt. We were born with the debt of Adam. And many lifetimes would not be enough to pay this debt. And even if we were to try to repay it, we would only make it worse. Because not only would it not really do anything, like paying back a dollar on a multi-billion dollar debt, but our very attempts to repay the debt are laced with sin. So that we add to our debt, even in the attempt to repay it. It's something we can never hope to escape on our own. But here's the other thing, Christians. Our sins require the ultimate price. They require our death. We have rebelled against God. We spurned his gifts. We corrupted his creation. We abused his goodness. And justice demands our very lives. Giving a life is the only way to repay the debt. And if we had to give our own lives, justice would be served. And it doesn't matter what we try to do on our own. This is the only way that it can be done. God is just, Christians. And God will do what is right. God is also merciful. The Father does not desire that even one sinner should die, but rather that he turn from his wicked ways and live. So he sent his Son into the world, not just to teach us his will, but above all to be our substitute. Jesus has given his life in exchange for ours. The life that justice required has been given. The debt has been repaid. Not by you and your efforts, which are never going to be good enough, but by the death of one man. One sinless man who did not deserve to die. But one sinless man who took upon himself your guilt. So that not only would the nation not perish, but also all the children of God would be gathered together into one, joined together in his body, the church, so that we may enter with him into glory. So then, Christians, why should we turn away from him? Why should we be afraid that our lives are going to be changed? Why turn back to our sins? Jesus has given his life for us. One man has died so that we do not have to. And even though following after him means that our lives are going to change, Jesus means it for the ultimate good. Because in this way, he brings us out of destruction. And in this way, he leads us on to glory. So that forgiven and renewed, we would become one with him, both now and in eternity. Let us therefore believe on his name and follow after him, because Jesus has died so that we may live. Let us pray. Father, who sent your Son into the world not to condemn it, but to save it, forgive us our sins and lead us in the way of everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.